Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class. A short Bible study, about 13, 14 minutes usually, but it keeps us in God's Word. Even that short period helps us to grow and stay strong in our faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We want to encourage you to help other people you know to grow in their faith, to be strong in their faith, even to come closer to God, and maybe get to heaven, by sharing these short studies with them every day through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. You may help somebody turn their life around, maybe help them get to heaven. That'll be a great blessing for them for sure, but also for you. So make that commitment and start sharing today with everybody you can. I want to read something to you about fingerprints. They say fingerprints serve as evidence in a criminal case or in some other situation of identity being needed. Fingerprints prove the presence of a specific individual in a particular setting. They're used to prove or disprove criminal cases all the time. It's also said that each person's fingerprints are unique to that particular individual, that no two individuals have the same fingerprints. Now that's fascinating, isn't it? Think about all of the billions of people alive today and that no two of them have exactly the same fingerprints. Well, let me tell you something. I saw the fingerprints of God the other day. I drove along the water's edge and saw the incessant waves rolling in, marking their progress on the shoreline and then receding back into the body from whence they came, then doing it all over again. It had a calming effect. As I drove away from the shore, I looked across the landscape toward the hills and the forest and observed a natural beauty that is a wonder to behold, truly. As the day waned, I scanned the horizon and took in an amazing sunset that pictures just simply could not do justice. I saw the fingerprints of God the other day. I was looking through a book on anatomy and observed the intricacies of the human body, all of the organs set in place, each with its unique function. The blood vessels serving the organs fueled themselves by perhaps the hardest working organ of all, the heart, never resting, always pumping in synchronous rhythm, the muscles portioned around the organs and the skeleton forming a protective shield around them all, the brain sending electrical impulses throughout the body, guiding and governing the individual parts in their specific functions. Oh, I was awed at the marvelous and obvious design behind it all. Yes, I saw the fingerprints of God. And then I saw the fingerprints of God again the other day. I was in a restaurant and noticed a young couple embracing, hugging, kissing, talking with such excited enthusiasm. Oh, their love for each other was obvious in their eyes and in their actions toward one another. They were so happy, so fulfilled in each other's presence. Yep, I saw the fingerprints of God the other day. I saw the fingerprints of God again on another day. As I walked along the street, I passed an older house. Oh, it was dated, but had obviously been kept up. The yard was neat. The place had character. On the front porch was an old couple. They sat in separate rockers, placed side by side, holding each other's hands, sharing a few words here and there, and a smile from time to time. The glow of a long-lasting and often tried love was radiating from them. Oh, yes, that was the fingerprints of God, for sure. Well, some say that everything I saw was the product of random chance, an accident in the cosmos. Everything we see around us just happened on its own, the invention of nature. But as I look around and observe all that there is to observe, that idea just does not make sense. Where did the forces of nature come from? No, I don't see random chance or accidents in the cosmos. I see design. I see intent. I see purpose. I see evidence. I see the fingerprints of God. Do you believe in God? Probably almost every single one listening to this podcast Bible study at this time would say, yes, I believe in God. In fact, most people, at least in the United States, would still say, I believe in God. But you know, the devil's active, and he keeps working to cloud people's visions, and as a result, more and more people are becoming at least questioning, or maybe even skeptical, as to, does God truly exist? Is there truly a God? And more are becoming outright atheists in their assertion that there is no God. How do we explain all that we see around us as to true goodness? How do you explain goodness without God? When the rich young man came to Jesus, he addressed him as good master. And Jesus, in something of a correction, or maybe it was simply a play on words to get the man and those others who might have been around observing and listening at that particular moment to stop and think about what that phrase, good master, or even that word good, really means. Jesus responded to the young man, "Why do you call me good? There is one good, and that is God." Now, perhaps Jesus was trying to impress upon the man, or at least motivate him to think a little bit more closely, a little bit more deeply, and those around him as well, to stop and think, are you coming to me, addressing me as good master? The Jewish people had a phrase that was attached to an understood idolatry or identity, the good. The good, and the good they understood to be a reference to God himself. Was Jesus trying to get across to the young man, you've addressed me as good master, but there is only one who is truly good, and that is God. Are you recognizing me as God the Son? And of course, those others who might have been standing around on that occasion, listening and observing what was going on, they could get that same message from Jesus. Are you addressing me? Are you recognizing me as truly being God the Son when you address me as good master? Well, a deeper lesson Jesus tried to get across on that particular day, perhaps on that occasion. But just think of the examples that we read in this short article. We walk along and we see good all the time, don't we? Good things. We accept good food. We recognize certain clothing as good clothing. We see a good home that we have been blessed to be able to live in. We meet people whom we recognize and identify at least to ourselves personally as being good people. And there are all kinds of other evidences of goodness, good gifts, good blessings, good situations. James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 17 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Do you think there could be goodness, true goodness, without God? How would you define goodness without God as the basic standard for what is truly good? When we eliminate God from the picture, from the whole equation of understanding true goodness, what do we do? When we start talking about goodness, we're simply talking about, if God is out of the picture, we're talking about what feels good to me right now. And what feels good to me right now may be completely different and even opposite totally of what would feel good to you. Or whatever it is that feels good to me, how that would feel to you. And then, given a period of time, maybe just a day or so, what feels good to me right now may not feel good to me tomorrow. Have you ever prepared a meal or maybe gone to a restaurant, you ordered something off the menu, you put the first bite or two or three in your mouth and, oh, it was so good, you were so pleased. It was really an experience that was good. Now, maybe you decided over the next day or two, I want to have that same meal again. And so either you prepared it or else you went back to that same restaurant. You ordered exactly the same offering off the menu. And you anticipated, you looked forward to it. You were ready to take that first bite. And you took the first bite. The sensation was not quite the same, was it? And then you took the second bite. And it was still, did not quite have that same intense sensation that you first experienced the first time you had that particular dish. It was good, but probably more along the line in your thinking as, it was all right. It was pretty good. But it didn't seem quite as good. Well, you see, I simply use that illustration by way of trying to get across the understanding that our feelings, if that's what we're relying upon to determine goodness, our feelings change. And they can change virtually with the wind. And then when you're talking about 10 people standing in a circle and you say, you know, what do you think is good? They're going to have 10 different opinions. And they're going to have 10 different feelings of intensity about what some of them may say, yeah, oh, yeah, I agree, that's good, but on a different level, a different scale. Well, but you see, when we're talking about God, God is always good. And He is the foundational standard for goodness. When I look around and I see things that are truly good, when I have truly good experiences, those are the fingerprints of God. I want us to look further next time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you and give you the glory because you are truly good and you are the basis for all goodness. Help us to always honor you and glorify you as such. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.